in front of me this morning, I've been watching some nice lit. Are you the man behind the lit letters?
We are not behind the beautifully lit letters,
but
we're
going
to take full advantage of them. They look really fun to play with.
And what's your name?
So my name's Ian Neumeier, and I'm here representing an organization called Find Some Flow. And our mission is to free play and playfulness for the masses.
I like it. Now, who wouldn't want to do that? I didn't,
exactly.
I didn't know play was constricted, but actually, there are some things that tend to perhaps make people not jump in the
absolutely,
play.
Absolutely.
Especially adults have a lot of inhibitions.
Yeah.
And sometimes play is not as accessible to everybody as much
exactly.
as it should be. So tell me a little bit more about what you do.
So, I mean, our main goal is to approach those areas of need. Like you mentioned, for some, it's not as accessible. So absolutely, we try to create opportunities for those who are in wheelchairs, those who are experiencing visual impairment or blindness, to experience inclusive experiences of play. And one of the ways we do that is by creating inclusive games and inclusive accessories. One of the games we'll be playing today is called Stonehenge, and it's a game that can be played in the same space, under the same rules, at the same time, by people who are able-bodied, people who are blind, and people who are who use wheelchairs. It's really a fantastic opportunity for people who are, especially for people who are able-bodied like myself, to get a chance to play competitively or collaboratively with somebody who's in a chair. I never had a chance to do that. I think a lot of people like me maybe graduate, maybe even their whole lives without ever having a chance to compete against somebody in a wheelchair. So
I think that's true. Or if you know somebody in a wheelchair or somebody with limited vision or any other, disability or what you would consider a disability, you might not even feel like it's appropriate to compete against that
isn't
person.
Isn't that a shame? Yeah.
And, you know, everybody deserves a chance to play in a competitive fashion if
absolutely.
That's what they want to do. Can you explain how you play Stonehenge?
So Stonehenge is a game of building. We use large cylindrical tubes, magnetic beanbags, and reach tools, and the goal of the game really is to build two Stonehenge-shaped structures before any other team does. Now, in addition to that, of course, there are different roles within the game. There's a wrecker. There's a retriever. The wrecker's responsibility is to travel around from camp to camp, destroying what the other teams have worked hard to build. And the game is won by completing two Stonehenge-shaped structures before another team can do the same. It's a really fun game.
Fair. And this would just be your typical Stonehenge.
So two upright tubes and one across the top.
Okay.
You got to build two of those. Now that sounds easy, but you can throw a wrench into it. But when you have these wreckers traveling from camp to camp, wrecking their chairs in or knocking pieces over with their hands, sometimes we use indoor snowballs as an additional game piece to add a little excitement to the game. You'll definitely see it being played down here in a little bit. And we have a video of it online. We were just on a program called Into Pittsburgh a few weeks ago demonstrating the game. So anybody who's interested in seeing this game played, easiest way would be to visit our website, findsomeflow.com. We have a little video link up there in the top right corner, and you can watch this accessible game in action. We have a couple other accessible games that we plan to play here as well. Most of the accessible games that we've played, we've developed with recycled and creatively reused pieces, which is really cool. So in order to make an inclusive play experience, it costs you maybe $30. It's really an opportunity that we can express all around Pittsburgh, and I'd love to start seeing inclusive play lockers built into Pittsburgh area playgrounds.
That's a really great idea.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take much, and there's certain ways that you can kind of structure inclusive play and kind of pack kids in and create opportunities for them to play together. But the way we like to do it is to fill spaces with inclusive equipment and pretty much let the kids do the rest. All you need to do is encourage them. And once they get playing, the playful spirit kind of takes over and the inclusivity kind of comes out of it almost by nature of playfulness. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, I think kids are naturally inclusive as they want to play because it's really inhibitions you develop as you mature.
Yeah, that's the tricky part is getting the adults to re-engage.
And that's something, you know, we've tried for years. I was just talking about this the other day. By the way, this is Ian, right?
Yeah.
We'd never introduced
you.
No,
he just kind of jumped in, didn't we? My name's Ian Neumeier.
Okay, and Ian And are you founder?
I'm the founder of Find Some Flow. That's right.
Just tell me about yourself. Where are you from originally?
So I was born in Dayton, moved to Pittsburgh at a young age. Grew up in the Pittsburgh area. Worked for the most part within athletic training and fitness. Then for a number of years, I directed a very small startup nonprofit. And that kind of got my feet wet within the nonprofit sector. A few years later, I was kind of wondering how I could make a bigger influence, and I figured perhaps launching my own nonprofit with my own mission would be the best way to go about it. We've been at it for about almost 2 years. We've had a nonprofit status for about 9 months, and we're just reaching that sustainable precipice here where our programming is bringing in enough value and our free services are balanced such that we can really begin to make a greater impact. And that's why we're here today, and we're happy to be able to afford to be able to be here today.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. And in fact, I would think people would do well to consider supporting your nonprofit through consulting engagements.
Absolutely.
Because I think workplaces and schools and others could, you know, you could hire a motivational coach.
Or don't do that.
Yeah, I was going to say. You could do that, or instead you could play. Now, I'm curious about something. I hope I'm not taking you away from setting up.
Please,
Here,
I'm happy to let them do the work while we yap.
Exactly. And make sure you ask them if they need any help when just at the moment they finish. Ask if they need any help, especially with lifting heavy things. So here, we've kind of shared your values for a long, long time. Games and puzzles that we have here early Saturday mornings are designed for kids and adults and really everybody to play at the same level. For example, we might say, name five animals whose names begin with the letter B. And a child might have bunny, bear, bobcat, and an adult might say bovine or bullwinkle the moose, baboon, or the child might say those things too. But they're games that everybody, and that's just one of many examples. Now, the world has gotten, you know, SLB has been on since 1978. It's been 37 years. The world has become far more striated, where we have very specific knowledge sets and experience sets. And I know for us, it's meant, I think the generality of animals is still going to be with us for a while, but the kinds of common sets of knowledge or abilities or concepts, I think we have to be careful because we've just really driven into demographics. Mm. That's one thing I think that's really important about what you're doing, because it's not like you have to already know the rules of a particular game. I'm just curious if you thought through that a little bit.
So one of the things we love doing and that we have here today, maybe sort of along those lines, is our Loose Parts Playground, where we kind of set the stage, we provide the equipment, and then what comes of that environment is really up to the player. So it's interesting when you might get a group of parents in, some of whom might have engineering backgrounds, and you get a group of kids in who are just creative as all can be. And it's funny because when you watch these two seemingly very different groups interact, they end up producing very similar things when they're given these same pieces. So it's a really fun mixing and marrying of very different walks of life. And I think like the playful stage is a great place to bring these people together. I'm not sure if that kind of talks towards what you were mentioning. But.
No, it does. And it brings, I mean, I'm thinking, a pickup game of softball or baseball. You might have some players that really understand every intricacy of the game.
I see.
And others.
Yeah, these are much different. Yeah.
Yeah, so. And others that don't. So you've got games here that really everybody has more or less an equal access, because conceptually you don't come with any, you know.
Right, and often we make the games on the spot. I mean, we plan to develop some games today So we bring you know, dozens of whiteboards and every little bit of material we can. And you'd be surprised when you get a group of kids together, or kids and adults with playful spirits, you'd be surprised at how easy it is to work together over a course of maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes. And you end up with a working prototype of a new kinetic playground game. It might not be perfect. It might take a long time to develop it and build it out. But kids and adults alike love working together to develop something. Something that I found is really beautiful about gameplay, especially. I liken it often to music. When you work with a group and you're in a group with musicians and you're producing a musical piece, that musical piece then goes on and has a life of its own that can be experienced by other people in different ways. Game design is very similar. When you work together with a group of people to develop a game, that game then goes on and has a life of its own that can be experienced by different groups of people in different ways. So what we try to do is create games that can just be experienced by the greatest number of people in the greatest number of ways. And that's kind of our guiding principle when we design games.
One, when you hit the exact sweet spot, and you know, there's a term you may or may not know called opportunity space that provides people with just that, the space that is that irresistible opportunity to provide your input and become so heavily engaged that you've lost yourself in what you're doing.
Beautiful. And that ties into exactly what we're about. Notice we're called Find Some Flow, and flow right. is that concept. So that's exactly what we try to find. And we found that gameplay and game design kind of sets the stage for you to fall right into that state of flow and that state of full engagement and immersion in what you're doing. That's what we love about it.
Well, at Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, it's at Find Some Flow. And is that the best way to keep in touch?
Yeah, and anything, if you guys see something fun or playful going on, throw a hashtag #StayPlayful on it. We've been trying to use that hashtag for a while, and people are starting to pick up on it. So that's a fun way to get engaged with us as well.
Do you know of anybody else in the country doing things similar?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a group in Pittsburgh called City of Play, and they address people more my age in their 30s, and they do really awesome immersive gaming events. There's also a guy, Christopher Whitlatch. He has I think it's called Immersive Life that he just launched, and they're doing physical immersive games like ghost hunts and bank heists and things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, there are the larger ones like A Playful Path, Bernie DeCoven, and a lot of the larger Institute of Play. There's quite a few doing different bits. I'm pretty proud to be one of the only guys focusing really on those hardest-to-reach cases and developing inclusive games. I was really proud a couple months ago. Bernie DeCoven actually reached out and said, "Hey, we love what you're doing. Thank you so much for bringing play where it's so greatly needed." And you'll see here pretty soon, we're going to start a national campaign to get some of our inclusive games included within schools' physical education departments. So keep your eye out. If you're interested in helping us, please reach out online. Find us at findsomeflow.com. We're also very active on social media. We definitely have really fun volunteer opportunities available. And as you mentioned, we would love to visit your space. We've done stuff with places like Industrial Scientific, Parkinson's Foundation, different schools, different companies. So we can really tailor really engaging experiences to whatever your need may be. We like to hit those really tough spots and those trouble areas and try to solve some problems, but we're willing to do the other fun stuff as well. So reach out if you have any questions, please.
Well, Ian, thank you for being here this morning, and I'll look for you. are you up at Maker Faire proper?
We'll be here.
Well?
No, we'll be here. Oh. We're kind of like taking over the theater after you guys are out, so we'll turn this place into a playground down here.
Oh,
so
that's going to be fun.
Yeah, yeah. Come play.
Well, you can start whenever you'd like. Don't worry about us.
Cool.
Findsomeflow.com is where you can get more information, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me. Take care.